This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Leiden. The mutilated face of an Afghan woman on the cover of Time magazine recently put the issue of international women's rights back in the spotlight. Another flashpoint of activism is the case of Sakina Ashtiani. The 43-year-old Iranian woman was sentenced in 2006 to death by stoning after being convicted of adultery. The sentencing followed an initial punishment of 99 lashes. Bill Shipsey is an Irish lawyer with Amnesty International, working to reverse Sakina's sentencing via an online petition. FreeSakina.org has gathered over 150,000 signatures in just a few weeks, many of them from celebrities.
It's not clear yet whether Sakina's life will be saved. There's still talk of imposing a sentence of hanging upon her sometime within the next week. But there has been quite extraordinary pressure being brought to bear. I mean, I have not, in my 30 years, witnessed quite such a global outpouring in the case of one single individual.
Janet Walsh joins us now. She's the Deputy Director of the Women's Rights Division of Human Rights Watch, and she's at member station KNOW in St. Paul, Minnesota. Janet Walsh, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Are these types of campaigns with a single victim as a focus, do they work? Are they helpful?
There are definitely pros and cons to single victim or single survivor campaigns. In some instances, it's helpful to actually identify a real individual and to have a campaign around that. You know, there are risks to that person, to their family. There are risks that the activists speaking out internationally about them may get the facts wrong and that there may be backlash by the country in question. But there are real benefits sometimes, too. It's worked out, and it's also prompted law reforms in many cases.
Could you tell me about a case in Nigeria involving the local group Baobab?
Sure. Back in about 2002, there was the case of Amina Lawal. She was a woman who was sentenced to death by stoning for having conceived a child out of wedlock. And the father of the child was not prosecuted, but Amina was. And in her case, the international pressure was furious and intense and global. But it was complicated because she was convicted by a local court, a Sharia court, and many of the activists were directing their letters toward the Supreme Court of Nigeria, not the real court in question. Baobab, the group that worked with Amina Lawal and her lawyers, felt that the international pressure was potentially destructive of her case. They felt it was going to bring about a backlash. In her case, in the end, an appeals court did overturn her conviction, so she was not stoned to death. So in the end, she's fine, but there were cautions that the international outcry should be stopped.
Now, in the U.S., there are both House and Senate versions of international violence against women legislation. Now, this hasn't been voted on yet, but seems to have bipartisan support. What kind of impact would something like this have?
I think this is one of the most exciting developments from the U.S. foreign affairs perspective that I've seen in my time as an activist. With this, if it were in place, if we had assistance that was aimed at treating HIV and AIDS, the people who are doing that work, the health workers, there would be more support for them to be trained on identifying women in treatment who may be subject to violence and may even be struggling with complying with their treatment because of that violence.
What about the violence against women, whether it's the Taliban in Afghanistan or honor killings in India or what we're seeing going on in Iran? I mean, is it your sense that the problem of using women in this way has grown worse, or are we just more aware of it?
Well, that's one of the problems. You're asking, is it increasing? We don't know in the world where we're starting from and where we're going to because we do have such poor data collection at this point. There are some studies in individual countries, and there was a very large study by the World Health Organization of 24,000 women in 10 countries. And there are estimates by the UN that about 1 in 3 women will be subject to physical or sexual violence in their lifetimes. So it is a huge problem. We know that. But we don't know precisely how much, and we don't know by how much it might be increasing.
I'd like to return to the case of Sakina Ashtiani, who's on death row in Iran. Brazil's President Lula da Silva offered her asylum, but Iran appears to have rejected that. It would seem that although this international petition campaign is so high profile that it could conceivably fail, and I'm wondering if it does, if her life is not spared, what that does to the fight for women's rights internationally.
her case could fail, and that would be a tragedy for her and for her family. I don't know that I would say that one instance of failure would so demoralize the movement to promote women's rights and freedom from violence. In a way, I hope it would galvanize it even more.
Janet Walsh is the Deputy Director of the Women's Rights Division at Human Rights Watch, and she joined us from member station KNOW in St. Paul, Minnesota. Janet Walsh, thank you very much.
Thank you.